Hi, my name is Jonathan Darty, and I'm the founder of Gateway to Freedom, and I used to be addicted to porn and sex. Gateway to Freedom is our workshop for men who want to overcome any kind of sexual struggle or stronghold. It's conducted over 3 days in a safe, private setting with professional counselors and experts in dealing with sexual brokenness issues. Now, space at each workshop is limited to ensure the highest quality of personal attention, and the workshop is available throughout the year in several locations around the United States. Hundreds of men over the years have found hope and healing through Gateway to Freedom, and I believe you can too. Our next workshop is coming up December 6th through the 8th in Texas. You can register by calling 1-800-49-PURITY, that's 1-800-497-8748, or by visiting BeBroken.com. Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad that you've decided to join us today. My name is Jonathan, and of course, I've got my friend Steven Cervantes here. So, how are you doing?
I am blessed today and glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. We're coming to the end of another year, and I was just, wow. I was having the thought the other day as I was driving. Every now and then I have like these morbid, you know, end of life thoughts where I go, oh man, how many more Christmases do I have left? You know, because it's kind of like
an interesting thought.
You realize every year you're getting, you're getting less Christmases, towards the end, and you don't know how many there are left, right?
So it's true.
Anyway, that for that pick me up, listeners, we're gonna kick off this week's episode. We did a broadcast recently where we were talking about the three things that we know about every single sex addict that we've met and that are out there And those were the issue that number one, you don't like yourself. Number two, you have a weak marriage or weak relationships. And number three, you've got an emotionally stunted system or an emotionally underdeveloped system. And so we had to kind of wrap that session up and not really get to, okay, what do you do about that? How do you actually respond to that? How do you grow? And so this episode is going to be really trying to kind of unpack that, right? What do we
Good.
Do? So I'm going to pass it off to you, Steve, and you tell us where we're going to go.
So I don't know why I make lists in my head, and I come up with 1, 2, 3, 4, and two of these and five of those, but that's sort of how I think as I go along. And I really think God gives me little templates, and it's helpful.
You've told me before that you literally have like papers on your wall in your house so that when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can write ideas and
I got
stuff.
A giant tablet with sticky. It looks like a little sticky, but they make big ones that you can stick on the wall. I have
That's
markers
awesome.
Right there. And so I'll be working on this problem in my head, and then God will give it to me at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock, and it's like, I have to go write it down right now because tomorrow morning it's gone.
Now, have you ever woken up the next day and it's just totally doesn't make any sense?
No, because as I'm sitting there writing and writing, write everything you can think, write it all. Because I know in the morning it's like, I had this thought last night.
It'll be like a dream.
What
then,
was
right?
it? Yeah. And it was like gone.
Yeah.
And then I pray, God, can you send it back, please? Send it back when I'm awake and I whatever. So there, if you look at my door, there's 10 sheets of yellow giant tablets stuck on top of each other and the fresh one's ready to go.
That's
for
good.
The new material.
That's good.
So I have 4 points on what you need to do to grow. So number one is reclaim your innocence.
Mm.
So think about how you started. Think about how you were made. You know, think about 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 8 and 10-year-olds. Think about boys that climb trees and play war and go hunting and crawl in the grass.
And girls that dress up as princesses.
There you go. And spin and twirl and chase butterflies. And go. We used to go down the creek and get frog eggs, you know, and we just spend hours splashing in the water playing and
now
just
let's
being light and free and discovering.
I think it's such a strategic word that you're using here, innocence. You know, you told me one time you went up to Washington State to speak at a church or something, and it was a group of men you were speaking with, right? And you said this type of an idea of we were made to be innocent, and you said like half the room laughed. Thinking you're making a joke, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
How did you respond to that? Like, what was that like?
I was shocked
to hear?
Because half of them got it and kind of gasped. And the other half, And then they realized
that's not a joke.
It was
right?
like yeah. a short little, and everybody got quiet. Then I said, no, no, no. Think about how you were made really in the mm-hmm. beginning, you know?
Because as you're saying that too, I think one of the other words that comes to my mind when I think about this idea of innocence is, especially when you're talking about children, is, isn't there just such a sense of wonder?
Yes, absolutely.
Like everything in life is like an adventure.
The whole world is an adventure, right? And all you need is a backyard. The whole world is
exactly,
a backyard,
yeah.
right? And then as you get older, it's like a neighborhood. Mm. Went around the neighborhood. You know, I was walking the other day and I met this guy, and it's in a part of town that's still less developed. And he was talking about his dad owned this farm here, and now there's hiking trails on it, and the public goes through it, and a park bought, the city bought part of it. And he goes, yeah, we used to run these hills, and man, we were out in the mountains when we were in these little hills around town. Mm-hmm. And you could just hear him, you know, just back in childhood, just light, free. The world is out there to be discovered, explored, whether it's the river or whether you're digging in the dirt. Whether you're climbing a tree, you're sort mm-hmm. of simple, and you just don't know. You only know how to enjoy the moment, be present.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about what's happened to us. I mean, hard things have happened, and we've been scarred and marred and hindered and spoken terribly about and over and into. And
so let's talk about this, because you said that this first thing is reclaim.
Yes.
Your innocence. So how do we go about doing that when we've been marred and scarred
yeah.
and all those types
well,
of things?
Well, I think the whole idea that you got to get the vision first before you do anything, right? You have to get the vision clear. And we were talking before we went on about the problem. You have to know what the problem is before the solution becomes more obvious.
Right.
Okay. So a lot of the guys we're talking to are well, a lot of the people, wives and husbands, are damaged people, right? And they picked up false beliefs and lies and shame and false identity and doubts, and they have stories, and their body remembers being screamed at and yelled at and embarrassed. And I mean, look how complicated we've become. Look how burdened and heavy. Look how scarred and marred we all are, right? You can see some people, they carry it.
Oh,
some
yeah.
people are so angry, they're ready to jump out of they're so angry about their lives, right? Some people are so worried, they just carry it. And they're just so worried about tomorrow. They have so much energy, they're so down, they're so, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, what was our design, right? What were we supposed to be? So where's the Bible start, you know? Back in the garden, right? We're looking at Genesis, and they're in the garden, and they're playing, and they're laughing, and they're running around. There's only one rule, you know, don't, mm-hmm. you know, but everything is yes, yes, yes. You want to go over there? Yes. You want to do that? Yes. You want to, yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about how innocent Adam, and he's alone, and he's not reaching his full potential. So God says, you know what? I'm going to give you a playmate here, a partner, a buddy to double your fun on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
Well, it makes me think of, you know, when we first started this ministry and you and I would go and do these talks and things like that, and you would talk about this design, right? And you say, hey, we were meant to run around naked in a garden, you know? And that one of the memories that always pops up into my head in that regard is when my kids were little, especially my middle son, you know, when he was 3, 4, 5 years old or whatever, his favorite time of the day was right before bath time. Because he would strip naked and he'd run around the house with his arms above his head, just screaming. And,
oh, that's great.
And I remember one time distinctly, I'm sitting in the living room and this little naked boy is literally running all over the house. And it hit me. I'm like, that's the design.
Wow.
Because there was innocence. There was just pure joy.
It was just
enjoying
his body.
And
he was free.
There was
no
shame.
Judgment.
There was no sin. There was no, I mean, it was just like, I think that's what God intended right there, you know?
And you can see him. He's wearing it on the outside. He's feeling it on the inside. His face is showing. His whole body is light.
Now, we're obviously talking to an audience of full-grown adult people.
Right.
So reclaiming your innocence does not mean going running naked up and down your street.
The parks are going to be full of naked right. people. Jonathan said, to be free, to cure my sexual addiction, strip all my clothes and run through your house.
Let's use it as a metaphor.
Okay.
But I do think part of reclaiming innocence is letting those truths of our design to come back into our minds and our hearts and letting that begin to show us, where is the shame? Where are the points of false identity and where our thinking is skewed and distorted?
Amen.
And begin to ask God and some other trusted people to come alongside and helping you reclaim that innocence so that there can be a type of freedom that comes and you're released from the bondage of those lies and that those scars.
Yes. So if you know you're not very hopeful and you're not very fun and you're not very silly and you're not very creative, it's like it's all in you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has that in them. And do you want it back? Do you want to reclaim it? Because the years and negative people and pain and abuse and all the other stuff has sort of broken it out of you. But it's in us. It's designed.
Yeah. We're made in God's image.
That's right. So, it's designed in our hearts to do that. So one, you got to have a vision. I want to go back to being simple and clean and light and free again. Right? That's the beginning. You have a vision first. And why did he give us a vision? For all eternity, he gave us that template. Right? For everybody to see Adam and Eve. Look at the start. Look how wonderful the start was. All the animals, all the plants. Look at the creation. When you look out your window, you're looking at part of the garden. God's creation for your pleasure. It's still here. I'm looking out a window right now, and I'm looking at a tree. And I don't know where you are. If you could look outside, that's God's creation calling you to comfort and pleasure and rest, to see beauty and joy. He's calling you back every day. So the question is, will you try to reclaim a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Will you turn off some TV that's raunchy, disturbing, sort of death culture of killing and violence? Will you push back some of the stuff that clutters in and fills your, right? Remember what we said earlier, if you don't like yourself, this is going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to like set boundaries. We got to protect ourselves. We can't go to certain places that are too stimulating, too risky. And man, you just turn on cable TV.
Right,
you can
exactly.
find anything stimulating that wants to push you to the outer limits of yourself. But you gotta decide, do you want to be innocent? Do you want to be free? To be free is to be disciplined and innocent. No discipline, self-control, you can't hold innocence.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out of control, you lose your innocence.
And that's really important to recognize that this idea of innocence and beauty and wholeness and freedom only exists within healthy boundaries. In other words, I think of it this way. It's like people sometimes will look at Christianity and look at the Bible and they'll be like, it's so restrictive. You know, you got all these, you Christians, you're all about, you know, don't. And the reality is I love what you said earlier about design and creation. It was yes, 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 yes. Guess what? There's still a place for us to get all those yeses within God's boundaries, even in this world.
Amen.
There is a yes to sexual intimacy within a healthy marriage. There is a yes to freedom of expression and creativity within the boundaries of holiness. You know what I mean? So it's like, and I think we both experienced this in our lives over time, is that, man, you know what? The more we go inside those boundaries, the more we realize there's infinite joy. There's like an infinite rest.
Yes.
It's not like trying to see how close can I ride the edge between the line of what's good and evil.
Right.
It's like the more I travel inside into the good, it just gets, if I can say it this way, gooder and gooder, right?
Well, and the lie is more, right? You need a little
right.
more. You know what he's doing? He's doing more than you're doing. He's getting ahead. You're getting behind, right? Right, so you get caught up in that whole thing, right? Versus, I'm going to hold my rest. I can live simple. I can live clean. And there's tremendous value in it.
Yeah.
Now, in a world that competes, I don't know if you're going to look like the people that are pushing and grinding it out and grabbing and holding and running.
And yet, I would say this, you will likely become an oasis of peace for those around you, because they'll be like, what is different about, why are you not stressing like I'm stressing?
Yeah.
Why are you able to be so stable and secure when I'm spinning out of control? You know, we're aliens and strangers here. We're told to look different. And I guarantee you, if you reclaim innocence, you're going to look different than the world.
Oh my goodness. One of the guys was telling me, come on, let's go to this club and that club. And they got the girls dressed this way and dressed that way. Come on, let's go. I don't go to those clubs. He says, I don't go. I can't go. Well, what's wrong? Why can't you? Your wife got you on a leash or something? No, I can't go. It's not good for me.
Mm. That's
good. It was like, that guy was practicing discipline. He's holding his innocence, right? He wants to be free.
Absolutely.
You think the other guy's free?
Mm.
The guy's building bondage.
Yeah.
So number two. Number one, you have to reclaim innocence if you want to work on growth. Number two, you have to manage your internal dialogue. Oh, man, these things. I have these voices in my head of shame we talked about. There's really three. That if we could focus on those three, we could get 80% of our heads cleared out.
Of internal dialogue.
There's only three pieces of internal dialogue.
Okay.
And you get 80%.
Okay, listen up, folks. Listen up. We're about to get the three.
Well, but you've already, we've been talking about the shame lies.
Yeah.
And remember, shame is you. If you say anything you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're lazy, you're not like us, you. That's shame. False identity. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I'm not like other people. I'm, you know, retarded. I'm a negative. I'm a, you know, piece of, I. That's false identity, right? And then number three is fear of rejection.
Mm.
If I mess up, they're going to tell me I'm bad and I'm going to be embarrassed. They're going to laugh at me. What if I mess up? If I fail and I'm rejected and they don't like me, and then I'll be that kid that was always unliked. I have to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things roll around your head all day long unless you put them in their places.
So now what I like about how you've worded this second thing for growth is you say manage.
That's right.
Your internal dialogue. And I like that because I think if you want to really bring out the shame monster, then you would have said something like control your internal dialogue. And it's like that all of us would drown in our shame, right? Because it's like, you know what? My internal dialogue is pretty chaotic at times. You know, it's pretty random too. Sometimes I feel like I'm managing it well, and then next thing you know, it's like wave of stuff comes
absolutely.
Over me. It's like, where'd that come from?
And I got triggered on my stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because people will step on, and I think that what you just said is the fear of failure
theme. Yeah.
Because like, didn't you do this? I thought you were going to do it. They got the tone. They got the face. They're coming at you. How many times I got to tell you? Right.
So failure. I'll give you a very recent example. So this week, this is the first time this has happened in the last 20 years of me being married, is I had a lunch date set up with my wife. Mm-hmm. Guess who got tunnel vision at work and completely forgot? I can't even believe I'm telling on myself on
this.
That's
too honest.
Well, here's the thing. So my wife is so gracious. She's, you know, at first she was, my phone was buried on my desk. It was on silent mode. I'm totally getting ready for a conference and I'm about to go speak at, and I'm getting all these things ready. And so my phone's going off without me even knowing it.
Mm.
And at first, when I finally got to these texts, you know, at first it was like, ha, I beat you to the restaurant, because that never happens. You know, I'm always first. and then it turned to like, oh my gosh, are you dead? Are you okay? You know, that kind of thing. Eventually she called and she was super gracious about the whole thing, but this internal dialogue just blew up on me.
Oh,
you know, the shame wanted to come in, and you're such a stupid failure, and I can't believe you. And it was, I mean, she'd already totally released me and forgiven, and there was total grace on her part. But I had this opportunity, if you want to put it that way, to manage internal dialogue.
Right, because you get flooded, the whole system of failure. Oh my goodness, right? And all of a sudden we want to scramble and we want to fix and we can't, and it's out of control. And then it, right?
Yeah. Now thankfully, you know, hey, 20 years into this journey of growth up, I've played these records before, right?
Mm.
So it wasn't like, I don't know what to do now, but I'm just telling you, I think it's important for listeners to realize this is not about perfection, right?
No, that's right.
The internal dialogue is something we're going to have to manage our whole lives.
Yes.
Now, I think it can get better. It was like, okay,
I'm
talking 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd work through this and things were okay. But it's still there, right?
That's right. And why is it still there? Because the body was in places where it was shamed and talked down to and embarrassed and threatened to be rejected. The cells in this body, the muscles in this body, they know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way to make it all go away is just get rid of your body and all those memories will go away. But if the body went to the stories, the body remembers, the brain remembers, and that fear response comes up, right, to protect us. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be rejected right now. Okay, you failed. Okay, bring it down. Self-soothe, right? So the shame lies, right? And the dilemma is our brain just keeps repeating them until we confront them and go, come on, shame, knock it off. Settle down. I don't need the dialogue right now. No, I don't want the dialogue right now. I'm gonna propose something to you, and I want you to tell me what you think. And it may be obvious, and you may know this, but I'm coming to this more and more. I'm a spirit in a body, and I run a brain. Mm. I am not my brain. About 6 weeks ago, my aunt died. That lady was she was about 90, and she remembered every family member, every kid, every place you lived, every animal, pet you had. I mean, she had this amazing mind. Nobody in the family remembered what this lady remembered, you know? And I'm looking at her body, and I'm going, she's dead. Her spirit's not there, but her brain, her biology is there, but her spirit's not there. Oh, my goodness. We think we're our brain.
Mm.
And we think, oh, there's terrible stuff in my brain. It's like, no, I'm a spirit. Mm-hmm. And I run a brain. And I tell my brain, okay, brain, enough with the shame. I want to rest today. Okay, I get it. This is scary, but I'm not going to beat myself up, brain.
Yeah.
Right? What if we thought that way?
We're
in charge of our brain. We run our brain. It's not in charge of us.
I think what that does immediately is it recognizes we have a different power source to tap into, because if we are a spirit that runs a brain and we know that our spirit is, we're created in God's image, and
yes,
therefore we have, especially for those of us who are Christians and have been reconciled to God, and His spirit has actually now been woven into our spirit.
That's right. That's the other part of the discussion.
Like, okay, there's a power source there that can override biology. Like, I don't have to be
And we can direct biology, right? We have biology. We're limited by this body.
Absolutely,
by the, I can only lift what these muscles can lift. I'm only as tall as this. My brain only does certain things. But my spirit now is in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. And the Father said, I'm putting the Holy Spirit in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the source now, right? But we are a spirit with the Holy Spirit right here helping us, and we run a mind.
Yeah, that's good. And I think that gets back to that idea of managing internal dialogue,
yes,
right?
That's right. You want to be more restful. Manage the dialogue. Submit it to Christ. Talk to it. I say, that's fine. Okay. What do you want to tell me? Okay, you said it. Now be quiet. Sit down. I got it. Shame. Okay, sit. You can do whatever.
And if you want to go to a place actually in Scripture that helps us understand what like healthy self-talk looks like, read through the Psalms.
Mm.
Because many times the psalmist, in the presence of God, will be talking to his own soul.
Mm.
Oh, my soul, why are you downcast within me? Oh, soul, remember the goodness of God. He's not talking to God. He's actually talking to himself in the presence of God.
That's good.
And so I think that's this idea of also managing internal dialogue is, what kind of self-talk do you have going on that's reminding you of the truths of God, reminding you in the presence of God of who you are?
And people say, it's a spirit. It's the evil spirit in you. I go, okay, I don't think the spirit lives in us, evil lives in us when we invite Christ in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but evil lurks about, we know. And just don't think about it. Just don't think about it. Don't think about it. Well, those two things don't work.
Right.
If it's a spirit, rebuke it. And don't think about it. It's in my story. It's mm-hmm. part of me. I can never not. I have to walk through it
right.
to be free, not avoid it.
Exactly.
Okay, so you got to reclaim your innocence, number one. You got to manage your internal dialogues, number two. Number three, you have to emotionally connect with others, mm-hmm. right? You want to work on growth, have deeper dialogues, right?
And
whether
this is
spiritual, emotional,
yeah.
deepen your connection, right? Practice the oneness.
And this is so important, especially for our male listeners, right? Because we may know how to connect with others on all kinds of other levels, right? We can connect intellectually. We can
right.
connect physically in sports. We can connect even socially, right? In the sense of just, hey, I'm going to go play golf, right? With my buddies.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say here is we've got to get down into that spirit part of our being, right?
Yes.
The story, like you said, like who knows your story?
That's right.
You know, listener, who knows your story? Like mm-hmm. men, especially out there, what other man knows your story?
That's good.
Like not just where you went to high school and what you like on your burger, right. But like who really knows your story of this internal dialogue and, you know, the where you've been broken and your innocence has been taken and you've got scars and wounds in your soul.
And it's hard to find places because even in churches, men are afraid.
Yeah, part of some people's wounds.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
It's true.
That they tried to open up.
So you find groups of men or you gather men together, right? You form, you find someone that you say, we're going to grow together.
And I like the fact that you helped us realize what this looks like. Because when you, especially when a man hears this idea of emotionally connect with others, you know, he's going to blank out. But you specifically said, you've got to talk.
Right.
You got to talk to somebody. Because, you know, for us, a lot of times as men, when we talk about emotions, we just go all kind of nebulous and numb.
Oh, right.
It's like, is that some kind of chant or something? Like,
And it's overwhelming. You know, I went to this conference and they were trying to define emotion. It's like 120 words.
Yeah.
What? Well, can you just tell me what? No, it's in the body. It's biology and it's words and it's language and experiences, emotion. I got to learn all this stuff. It's overwhelming to some people.
Exactly.
And if you haven't been trained in it, now you suddenly got to go get schooled in it.
And I would say this, especially for the men out there that are listening, this is helpful for women too. If they want to learn about what we've done for men, we did a 7-part webinar series on emotional training for men.
That's right.
And you can get it through the website at puresexradio.com and then just click on the webinars link. But that might be a place for you to go to just dive a little deeper into, okay, what emotional growth specifically look like
for men. Broken it down to some basic ones that are really important. So number 4 on the list, and the last one is make God your BFF, your best friend forever. Make God, a relationship with God, being in the presence of God, right? Just having a dialogue. A friend and I were talking about meditative, contemplative.
Thank prayer,
you. Yeah. I'm not rolling that out very easily, prayer. And so sit for 20 minutes. And it's just like, it's hard to sit for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I can talk to him all day long, 2 minutes here and 5 minutes there. And when it's quiet, when I'm in the car, I turn the radio off and I say, well, thank you for so many things you've done. And I'm right. That sort of works for me. He's sitting in there. He and I are on a journey all day long. He and I are going to take a ride together.
When I think of it this way, you know, sometimes we have tried to create templates for a dynamic relationship with God, and then we just kind of cookie cutter people into those temples. And I love what you're saying, because think about it just for a second. Are all of your friendships identical?
No.
Right. You have different dynamics. You have a different friendship with your wife than you do with some other people, and you've got even the other people in your life that you have friendships with. It's like there's different contexts, there's different connections, there's different points of similarity and differences. Why do we think that we can look at every single person around us and go, oh, we absolutely know that everybody has, you know, distinctions to their friendships. But then we're going to say everybody needs to relate to God in exactly the same way. You got to have your 20-minute quiet time, and then you got to read the word. And then it's like, okay, there are elements that must be similar in our relationship with God. Prayer is necessary. The God's word is necessary. Fellowship with other believers is necessary.
Right.
But we need to be careful of creating a template, a cookie cutter thing that says, and it must look this way in everybody's life. So I love the fact that you've said, make God your best friend forever. You're going to have a dynamic, intimate, personal relationship with God. It's not going to violate his word or violate these principles, but man, go on a journey of seeking out, what does that look like? What is my connection with God going to look like?
Yeah, what do you have for me today? And what did you show me, and how did you bless me? I mean, even I'll say thank you for that parking spot or thank you for that beautiful tree. You know, that's a gorgeous flower right there. I'll stop a minute. The marching band is behind my office. And so when I'm getting off in the evening, the marching band is practicing. And I just stop and I listen to this marching band, and the band director's drilling them over and over. Okay, step this way, step that way. Okay, do pattern 12 now, pattern 14 now. Okay, ready on
that's
the
good.
And it's just like I am experiencing the joy of the Lord in this music.
That's great.
It's just like an orchestra outside of music. It's like, and I'm holding my innocence and my wonder and my curiosity. I'm thinking, a marching band just for me. And for a minute or two, he and I are listening to music.
That's awesome. Well, listeners, we're out of time, but just remember these 4 points for for growing. One is to reclaim your innocence. Two, manage your internal dialogue. Three, emotionally connect with others. And finally, four, make God your BFF. We'd love to hear your stories. We'd love to be able to come alongside you and help you as best we can. So reach out to us at puresexradio.com or on our social media at Pure Sex Radio. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here again next time. Take care.
Thank you. God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.